Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, live at the Discount Drug Mart here in Brunswick Hills. Terrence West will be with us momentarily. Jim Leonard at 2 o'clock as well. We want to get your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Get your thoughts on, obviously, the Browns' performance, how they bounce back, getting ready for Carolina. Hand out grades if you'd like to do so today. And, you know, we were talking about Merrill Hodge and Johnny Manziel, Matt, with some great points about how you learn to be a professional in this league and the work ethic of the truly great ones at the position, because you've been around literally two of the very best to ever play the game in Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position, that's for sure. All right, 216-578-0850. We're going to start on the phone lines right now. We're going to go to our guy, Matt's dad, Stan, in Brooklyn. What's up, Stan?
Hey, how are you today? Great show.
Stan, how are you today?
You know, I just got off the phone with Dr. Roselli at the Cleveland Clinic, cleared the air about some conditions I have. But
that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Anyways, hear me out a little bit, if you would, please. I wanted to make a couple points. One is my grade overall is a D.
A D, okay.
Yeah.
And you're a nicer grader than I think we're going to be.
And I'm basing that D on the fact that we have a multitude of injuries. That's why I'm giving them a D. The other thing that I really am sad about, and I know you have to deal with different issues, but I just called WEWS about an hour ago, and I can't understand why 30% of the population does not have technology. They have regular TV, and they're not going to show the Ohio State-Alabama game on ABC.
Stan, I don't know about that. That's an interesting one. I don't know. We'll have to talk to the good people. We're excited to be working with the good people at WEWS, though,
for
the Browns.
We absolutely are. That'll be awesome.
Television partner of the Cleveland Browns.
And I think also, too, I think Fox, who will carry that football game, might have paid a dollar or two to be able to
have that right.
Yes, have that right.
Yes, it's a pay-for-play type of a privilege there.
Yes, it is.
The always entertaining Stan Allen Mansfield, now welcome to CBD.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey,
what's up, Al?
I would just say that the offensive line effort or production was at least at best lackluster. And I guess my question is, and I'll hang up after I ask the question so I can hear your response, but if we continue to get that kind of production out of the offensive line, doesn't that make it difficult to assess what Johnny can actually do?
I think it's true for the offense in general. I think it's true for all the weapons. And you look at the offensive line, I mean, you can – I'll go back to it. Brian Hoyer had 7 touchdowns and 1 interception when Alex Mack was his center. After that, we know how his season went. We saw Johnny Manziel struggle. The Browns right now are not capable of dealing with physical defensive fronts. You look at the games where we have gotten absolutely manhandled. Jacksonville, Houston, Buffalo. This game, this past week against Cincinnati. Now, granted, Cincinnati was there before, and that wasn't an Alex Mack game.
Right.
And they did a good job, but the Browns had the momentum. We weren't super effective running it. We just stuck with it and ran it 52 times for about 170 yards. We didn't average 40 yards a carry, but we ran and ran and ran and ran the football, and the Browns were in the lead. In this one, the Browns were not. The pass protection has been somewhat lackluster recently, certainly since Alex Mack has gone down. And, yes, it makes it tough, but the Browns still, the amazing thing is you look at, they still have one, probably two Pro Bowlers on the line. Joel Bitonio has a chance to make it right now. So this is a line that needs to be a little bit better. But I think all of the turmoil at center in this offense, center is such an important position. And we've seen, you know, Greco struggled there. He moved back to guard where he's playing well. Nick McDonald was in, struggled a little bit. Ryan Seymour's in, and he had a very rough game against Cincinnati.
Yes, he did. And I think to answer your question, the offensive line play is very critical in our ability to evaluate Johnny Manziel, because if we cannot rush the ball and Johnny's forced to throw or be dynamic with the football, with it, which is everybody's expectation, it's going to be very tough for him to succeed. But I think more so than anything, and as we've heard Coach Pettine say, it's not only Johnny, it's everybody around him. It's being and building that rapport with his receivers, being on time, in and out of the huddle, to not be rushed, as we saw some cadence problems But a lot of it is timing with a new quarterback. Then also, too, is I think Kyle Shanahan really has to go back and look at what they created for Johnny, and is that really suitable for our offense? Yes, it may be suitable for Johnny Manziel, but is it suitable for everybody else to succeed in that system as well? And I think that is something that I identified throughout the football game that I was not a fan of, and I thought we were trying to succumb to the skill set of one player instead of the skill set of all 11 on how they can cohesively play together well.
And one thing I noticed, and you tell me what you think about this, is that I think Johnny Manziel, when he's going to miss down the middle of the field, he's going to miss high. Now, that's dangerous, but at the same time, what you want to do then is surround him with bigger pass catchers. I'd like to see Rodney Smith get some opportunities to run those slants off of the backside because he's a big target at 6'5". You got Gordon, who would be a big target. Cameron would be a big target. Look at Drew Brees. How is that offense built? It's built with speed on the outside and two huge targets when he goes down the middle field, Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston. Because he's not that big, he's got it. There's a geometry. You got to get it up and down.
Yes. You do.
So you need bigger guys to be working the middle of the field for you. And I think that that's something New Orleans understood and did very, very well. The other smaller quarterback, you look at Russell Wilson. They have their smaller receivers on the outside. Then they put Jermaine Kearse, who's a big receiver, and make him the slot receiver so that you have that size. And that's one of the reasons, but that's not what Kyle Shanahan does in his offense. He's never utilized that big slot type of a receiver that you see, for example, even right now in Philadelphia, Jordan Matthews, the rookie there, has been playing that Marcus Colston role, but he's just a little bit more athletic than Colston, so you're seeing the success that he's had. I think they need to do something to find some of those bigger receivers, because if Johnny's your guy, you need to put the kind of guys around him that best take advantage of his skill set. That's something that stood out to me while watching tape, that he's not necessarily the guy to have all these very small receivers running around, because you want the broken... You want to be able to get him the opportunity to put the ball up, let the receivers make plays. But I notice when he's looking down the middle of the field in particular, the ball is going to be a little bit higher because he's got to get it over the line given his size.
He does, and I think that that is something that you have to evaluate, and that is something that he will struggle with. And until Kyle Shanahan can humble himself and find that out, because for Johnny Manziel, yes, is he more accurate than Brian Hoyer? Yes, we believe so. Does he have a stronger arm than Brian Hoyer? Yes, we believe so. But until we give him an opportunity to become accurate and confident in the pocket or even out on the edge to make those throws, you've got to put him and what all that you're talking about is basically you're building a game plan and moving guys around to give Johnny an opportunity to succeed instead of being very cookie cutter and go, well, this is my offense. This is where I want this guy to line up because Josh Gordon's the X. I'm going to put him. He's going to line up as an X. No, if it works to Johnny Manziel's skill set to put him inside and work versus, I mean, imagine Josh Gordon lining up against the K1 Williams, you know.
Well, that's something that North Turner did a lot last year.
Exactly.
He would move him into the slot.
Yes.
He did that with Vincent Jackson down in San Diego all the
time. Malcolm Floyd
to get those mismatches.
Yes.
Because sometimes it helps to have those big guys. So we'll see, I think, more of that from the Browns as the season goes on, because if Johnny's your guy, you got to give him the best chance to succeed. Chris in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Yes, how are you doing?
What's up? Good. How are you, man?
All right, I'm all right. With this Johnny Manziel situation, I don't want to sugarcoat it. We have to deal with this the way it is. And I think that the big problem is, you talked about Teddy Bridgewater earlier. Johnny Manziel, you know, it was just one game. But Johnny Manziel, based on the preseason and based on the evaluation that most people said that watched him on film, even when you watched the quarterback camp with John Gruden, he's a one-read quarterback. He pulls the ball down and run after one read. He even said that himself. And you have no business drafting that guy in the first round, especially when you have a chance to draft Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I heard you say earlier that Bridgewater struggled early, but I watched Teddy
early,
Bridgewater.
Early, but he's played phenomenally well.
It was not brutal early. I watched Teddy Bridgewater.
You're right.
Teddy Bridgewater, he didn't have tremendous numbers. They also won a couple of those games. But Teddy Bridgewater was able to run the offense. He was able to check down. He was able to read defenses. He was able to do things that Johnny Manziel can't do. And the fact that
have to sell me on Theodore. That was my guy.
Right. I mean, I do. I remember you saying that was your guy. The fact of the matter is, the Cleveland Browns evaluated quarterbacks. If they had Johnny Manziel as the number one quarterback on their board, and they're watching film of Teddy Bridgewater, who played in a pro-style offense in college, then that was lacking on their part. I'm not saying that Manziel won't be a good quarterback, but he's not a first-round pick. He's a developmental quarterback, and that's the problem here.
Let me say this, because today Peter King just said right now on today on the Colin Cowherd Show, he said, "I don't sense the Ray Farm and the organization were in love with Johnny Manziel," end quote, says he heard they gave into the hype. The bottom line is he was the number one quarterback on this board. I know that with 100% certainty. That is a fact. I also know that this team drafted him. They got a good value on him. And I also know, because Kansas City was going to draft Johnny Manziel, if the Browns didn't trade up to get him, he would have been the next pick. So at least two teams in the NFL at a minimum thought that he was a first-round talent. I know the Dallas Cowboys also had a first-round grade on him, as Jerry Jones has alluded to as well. So there are multiple teams in the National Football League that certainly thought Johnny Manziel was a first-round talent. It was one game, and it was a horrific game. Teddy Bridgewater, if you remember, had a very, very tough pro day. And Nathan Zagura's evaluations, that doesn't matter. In my world, I could care less about that. I go off of football tape. There are a lot of things that go into these pro drafts, though, in terms of evaluating a player. It's not just your tape. That's important. Your pro days. But also the personality, the things that they get into with you when you have meetings, that they try to understand your nature, their frame concern, whatever it may be. A lot of things can go into this for these evaluations. But I just want people to know it's not just one thing. The tape should be important. I think it's the most important thing. And I thought, and it's my opinion was that Teddy Bridgewater, the best tape of any college quarterback by far in this draft.
Sure.
But Johnny Manziel also showed things on tape, both from the pocket and in his improvisational skills, that made him a conundrum. He was the guy who by far had the highest ceiling, but also by far had the lowest floor. And that was kind of the risk with Johnny Manziel. You're taking a chance that you can get a guy, because he is so smart, that can pick up the concepts, that can do the things on the whiteboard, translate that to the field to take advantage of his unbelievable ability.
Sure.
And that's what we're going to find out if he can do. One game in, I'm not throwing in the towel on that. And for Peter King to say that, I think is a little bit off base, because he was the number one quarterback on Ray Farmer's board. This was the Browns board. He's the general manager of the Browns.
You're right. And I think as we look and we talked earlier in the season, prior to Johnny, you know, partaking in a football game other than those few, the zone read that set up the trick play, you know, we were high on Ray Farmer and his decisions thus far in this draft. You talk about Joel Bitonio, you look at Terrence West, you know, your guy now, Pierre Desir, and, you know, finally got his opportunity to play and stepped up.
Chris Kirksey has
been a very good player. So very productive players. And I think what allows people, and more so Browns fans, maybe not Peter King, because he can be critical of all 32 teams if he wants to, but I think what Browns fans expect, because they see other quality football teams draft a guy mid, maybe late first round, and they come in and they play and they contribute all season long, and they see them in spurts, you know, good play, you know, on SportsCenter, you know, he made one good play, but again, you know, he might have played 15 plays, and that was the one good play, an interception, a tackle, a big catch, whatever it might be, whereas we're critical of the Cleveland Browns because we eat, sleep, and breathe these Cleveland Browns as Browns fans and the Dog Pound and so on and so forth. And we expect every single pick to be a home run instant contributor. And what we have to understand is this is not a good football team. But drafting young talent that is participating and earning their stripes and learning and growing on the field participation, something that I didn't get even as a rookie. I sat back and watched. I was active maybe half the season, and I watched the other half, but I learned a lot. I learned from my mistakes. I evaluated myself critically, as the coaches do. I learned from the other pros around me, which made me a better pro and come in hungrier next season. So I think we're ahead of the curve by getting Kirksey the amount of time that he's played. I think we're ahead of the curve getting Terrence West the amount of carries that we, and Crow the amount of carries we've got. And I think in this case, because the quarterback position has been under so much scrutiny, it's a luxury to have our rookie quarterback, which could potentially be the future, earn this time, you know, with a veteran in front of him, because a lot of these guys have to sit multiple years before they get their shot.
And if you look at the whole, look at this rookie class. Look at the contributions from players who are rookies right now on the Cleveland Browns. You talked about Joel Bitonio. You've talked about Chris Kirksey, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell, Taylor Gabriel is making big contributions. Kaywan Williams making big contributions. The two marquee names, Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, we haven't seen as much as we'd like from. But that's okay, because as a whole, this rookie class has performed at a very, very, very high level. And now we're going to get to see Pierre Desir. And I'm telling you what, Pierre Desir is going to continue to be a very effective player for this team. And I think Pierre Desir is going to be a great cornerback in this league. Robert Nelson has also played some time on this team as an undrafted free agent. So lots of guys guys that have made contributions from this rookie class. I think Ray Farmer and co. did a very, very good job in their first kind of draft and influx of talent to the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, we're going to continue to take your calls, 216-578-0850. We are also going to get into our grades, and it's not going to take long because it was not pretty against the Cincinnati Bengals. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, live at the Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills. Come on out. Terrence West will be here shortly. Jim Leonard on his way as well. Plus my buddy Vince Conde, friend of the show in town from California. You could come out and shake his hand as well.
I already did.
You already did. It was great. Great throw for you.
Very healthy handshake. Yes,
it was firm. Strong.
Yes.